Alrighty, good morning, everybody. How is everyone doing this morning? That is good to hear. Well, hey, I didn't have to ask you twice, so I've trained you well. Everyone came wide awake this morning. That's good, because the first song we're going to sing, it's probably going to be new to some of you, but it's really, really easy and simple, and it's a little bit upbeat, so we're going to sing it together this morning.
Excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
Now you're getting it.
Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is King.
Listen to this verse.
Well, you talk about people, you talk about things that really aren't important at all, and we talk about the weather, we talk about problems we face at home and abroad, but friend, I'm excited for a solution for the world to shout and sing. Jesus Christ is still King of Kings.
Sing it with me.
Well, get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King of the King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
Starting off a little more upbeat this morning. You guys did so well. It's a pretty easy song, and we're going to have that a few times throughout the year just to start the service on an upbeat note. Well, I'm glad to be here this morning. I kind of just had one of those happy mornings, you know, that annoy the non-morning people. I was just joyful all morning. My wife, I'm not usually a morning person, and my wife really isn't, and when I wake up all happy, It doesn't impress her very much. So she's probably glad she wasn't up when I was up this morning. But I don't know why, but I guess it's because I got something to sing about, right? I'm excited what God's going to do at Nettles Island Church in 2024. We got big things ahead, amen. All right, we're going to sing an old hymn, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, All Other Ground is Sinking Sand."
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. When darkness veils His lovely face,
when darkness veils His lovely face,
I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Are you thankful He's your hope and stay this morning? Amen. And when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. I'm thankful for a solid rock that we can build our house upon this morning. Amen. Thank you for your good singing.
Amen. Boy, you are wide awake and alert this morning. I'm so glad to see all of you here today upstairs in the hall at Nettles Island Church. I'll tell you what, this is the greatest event that takes place in this building anytime during the week because the Lord shows up and He's here. Now, I know as Christians, and a lot of you are in groups, and wherever you go, He goes with you. So if you're quilting or you're doing something else, He's here too. But boy, when we all gather together with one heart and one mind and one desire to lift up Jesus, something good is always going to happen. I'm so glad today to look around, and I know that we've got some folks that are with us that are new to me. I don't know that I've seen you before today, and we have this little thing that we do. We like to honor our first-time friends, our guests, and we have folks that are ready to go. We've got a little promise book that has the promises of God's Word in it, so it's real easy. If you're looking for a specific thing, maybe you need a healing, or you need some joy, or you need some peace in your heart, you just go to this little book, and it gives you the scriptures that are there, and it's a really handy little tool to have. And we have that we like to give out to our new friends. And all I'm going to ask you to do is, if this is your very first day with us at Nettles Island Church, would you slip your hand up and hold it up until our folks that are ready, coming from the back, they'll make sure that you get one of these little gifts today. Amen. Some back here and some up here. Let's welcome them today. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Did we miss anybody right over here? We've got one like two-thirds of the way back on your left, my right. How about that? Thank you so much for joining us today. Don't know if you're, you know, what part of the country you're from. If I had to take a guess, I'd probably say Michigan. But you know, I'm not always right. And we can't forget about those North and South Dakota folks and those Minnesota folks and those Iowa folks that love the front row. And but we're just glad. And if, as a first-timer, you'll realize that we're just regular folks. We love Jesus. We just love to be together to exalt Him and to care about one another. And this is a wonderful, caring church. I'll tell you, you won't find one like this where people care about one another. And if you're looking for a home church, if you're here and you're thinking about moving here, or you have moved to the Nettles or to the area, please come back. We'd love to have you back with us today. Amen. I want to cover a couple of announcements really, really quick this morning. Number one, in your bulletin this morning, you received this little half insert, and I want you to grab that real quick. Today begins our week of prayer. This is something that that I'm launching that's new since I've been here. We didn't do this last year, but because we're in our very first month, and we've kind of completed the first week, but we started last week in 2023, and so here we are in 2024. And so I'm asking you to do something with me. Would you join me this week and make this a week of prayer? And this is a little, just a very simplistic outline. You can add to it any way you want to. It doesn't give you a whole lot of direction. It just gives you minimal direction. But you see the Sunday through Saturday. And I would like to ask us, if it's possible, during the noon hour, I'm not telling you don't eat. I'm just saying maybe before you do eat. Now, the Lord may ask you to just fast, and if he does, do that. Be obedient. But if he doesn't, I'm not asking you to do something that God wouldn't ask you to do. But if we are praying during the noon hour, that means that there's a unity in the time that we're praying, and there's something amazing about being together. Can two walk together, right? And if any two will agree on touching any one thing. And so I'm asking that when the clock strikes 12 today, that you would just take a little bit of time and just find a place. You know, some folks like to kneel and pray next to the bed or a favorite chair, or maybe sit somewhere at a table and just find that place. And if you're married or have a spouse and you want to do this as a team together, feel free to do that. But you'll see that today we're praying on consistency and asking God to help us to be faithful and steadfast in our prayer. And the goal really here is to just jumpstart us so that when this week of prayer is over, we don't just stop praying or slow down praying, but maybe we'll just say, man, this is just an amazing thing what God is doing, and we'll just kind of encourage ourselves to keep it up and even go forward and onward with it. I do want to mention to you, if you have your bulletin and you look in your bulletin, I am not reading all of these to you. I know that we have a lot of people and you are very intelligent. You can read all these things. But I do want to mention today that I have to say that with the digital photo directory sign up, thank you to all of you that have been participating, getting your photos made. That's important to us. We want to have a current update. The last directory was from 2014. Some of you look a little different. Just a little. But here's the thing, and you'll see it in here, as we're looking, we're trying to get the rest that have not had their photos taken either January 13th or 14th. That's the real important two dates. We will, the 20th and 23rd are 21st are makeup dates. 20th and 21st are makeup dates. So this next week as we get into the 13 and 14, and those photographs will be taken in the East Rec Hall. Okay, the East Rec Hall. Everybody knows where that is, by the main office, and we'll be set up. If you have not signed up, please sign up today on your way out. There's time slots so that when you get there, they're ready for you. It'll take 5 minutes or less, pictures made, smile big, and then you're on your way to whatever the rest of the day has planned for you. I want to mention today that we're getting ready on Wednesday to start our Bible study. Our main in-house upstairs Bible study starts this Wednesday, studying 1 John, and we are ready to go. If you have not gotten signed up, I know that we're full. I'm told that we're full, but we have a waiting list, and people do drop out, and that waiting list is back at the information desk that's in the back corner. It would be on your left side, my right side, back in that corner. There's a brown desk, and there's several things to look at for signing up, but that's where you'd want to sign up for that. The ladies, also, there's a ladies' Bible study that we're going to starting February 8th through the 14th. There's a sign-up sheet for that. I'll let you read all the details of that. And then the last thing I want to make mention of this morning is that on the table in the back is this little benevolent offering. Next week is Holy Communion. We're having a communion service, and we have special communion services. We focus on that. And one of our patterns, one of our responsibilities as Nettles Church that we have been doing for years and years is on our four communion Sundays a year, we always come in with a benevolent offering, and we take the money that comes in, and it goes to meeting needs right here with people on the island. So we take care of the people here. So I was asked this morning to make sure that you know about that. You don't have to. There'll be these in your bulletin next week. But sometimes people go, wow, I wish I'd have known a week before. I could have prepared better. So I'm just making you aware that if you would like to participate in the benevolence offering, there'll be a special envelope. They're on the table today, and they'll be in the bulletin as well next week. Amen. It is exciting to be able to share the ministry of the Nettles Island Church choir led by Lori Walker. And so I'm going to ask the choir members if you would just come and take your places. And they're going to sing a very special dear song, The Old Rugged Cross. May God bless them and bless us as they minister to us today.
I will pray to the old.
Amen. Thank you, choir. Beautiful job, Lori and Sherry. I'm thankful for the cross and the hope that we have in the cross this morning. Had it not been for the cross, where would we be? Amen. We're going to sing a couple more choruses this morning. I know as we're going into this new year, this next song is titled, "As a Deer Panteth for the Water, So My Soul Longeth After You." We need to seek Him with all our hearts, now more than ever. Not just because it's a new year and new things are going on. We need God's help in 2024, just as we needed His help in 2023. And we're going to sing, "As a Deer, and Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God." Let's sing this morning. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. And you alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. Sing it out this morning. And you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. We're going to add a verse. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Amen. Thank you for your good singing.
Amen. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we just bow our hearts and our lives before you. Lord, it is our desire this morning to press into you, to know you better. Lord, we've got a brand new year. God, new beginnings, new opportunities. And Father, we just pray today that you would just stir our hearts. Lord, we want more of you. We desire more of you. Lord, as we sang about the deer panting for water, may our souls be thirsty for that which satisfies, the only thing that satisfies, and that's you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we just offer our hearts and our lives to you today. Thank you for allowing us to bring worship and praise to you. Thank you for reminding us of the beautiful experience that came to us, Lord, hard for you going to the cross, that old rugged cross, but you went because of your love for us to save us and to set us free from our sin and make a place in heaven for us. Father, I think about the needs that are on the prayer request today, the bulletin prayer request form. God, we lift up Jake again and we lift up Bart today. And Lord, you see the list of names. There are many names on here and there are many needs and there are great needs. But we serve a God who's greater. We serve a God that has all the power to do and to work on our behalf, to make things turn around when things look bleak and when things look like there's no hope and there's no way out. God, help us to maintain our hope and our faith and our trust in you. Father, I pray for those that have gathered today that have burdens and needs that have come into this service, God, with maybe some with a heavy heart. God, would you reach down and touch them? Minister to them. Let the joy of the Lord begin to flow up out of them today. Let them feel your joy, for the joy of the Lord is truly our strength. And Father, we give you all the praise and the honor as we study your word today. Bless your word. Anoint your servant. Anoint all of our ears to hear and to receive today. Lord, that we might be recipients, that your word might have its effect on us, that it might change us, that we might be more like Jesus. And we give you praise for it in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, would you go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 this morning? We're going to be talking about first things first. It is the new year. We've said that about 27,000 times this morning. So if you just woke up from a deep, deep sleep, you know it's the new year, 2024. But welcome to it. And we have officially put 1 week behind us in the rearview mirror, haven't we? Here it is. Today's the 7th. A week has already come and gone. And you know what I love most about the new year is in January, we get to turn the calendar. And it offers us a fresh new start and a new beginning and new opportunities to set some new goals. I don't know how many of you, I'm just curious, how many of you set resolutions or goals coming into 2024? Anybody here do that? I set a goal to eat whatever I want and gain as much weight as I need to gain this year. No, I'm kidding. Not a whole lot of people do that anymore, do they? I think we've finally gotten some wisdom, haven't we? When you get to be our age, and we realize for the last 40 or 50 years we've been writing these goals and realizing they don't all come to fruition, what's the point? What's the point? But it is a new opportunity for us to set some new goals. And I want to encourage you today. My message is about setting a new goal and a new desire. And I know that many of us, we do want to improve our eating or our exercise patterns. I've talked to some of you in the last couple of weeks, and we've discussed some of those things and how we're going to do that and how we're going to get there. Maybe our goal is to handle our finances and our savings in a better way and see if we can boost those up after the last couple of years of real distress in the markets and so on. Maybe some of you are here today and your goal is to kick a vice that you've been battling for years, just to become healthier in some way. Most of us desire better connections with our children and our grandkids. And of course, we want to eliminate hurry from our lives and be more centered and be more peaceful as people. And at least we've thought about this, and hopefully more than mildly, but at least mildly, become more and more like Jesus. But instead of attempting to follow a long or a short list of hope-filled goals that we may or we may not cross the finish line of success with within this new year, what if this morning you and I, as you hear what I'm saying and as I bring forth what I believe God wants us to hear today, that we would just commit to what I believe is one of the most, not the most, but one of the most powerful and life-changing verses in all of the Bible. Matthew 6, 33. Jesus is talking here, and this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount as he's speaking, and he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. We'll talk about that a little bit more in depth. But there's a thought in here that I have for us today. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Now in the Gospels, when talking about the kingdom of God, Jesus taught us several things about the location of that kingdom. He said in the Bible, in the Gospels, he said to some groups of people, he said, hey, be aware, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then another time he said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's with you. It's around you. And then he said, it's upon you. And then if you'll look at Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus is declaring the kingdom of God is within us. It's within you. So it's at hand, it's in our midst, it's upon us, it's near us. And then he talks about how the kingdom of God gets into our soul or into our lives. Jesus said this, he said, the kingdom of God is coming, but not in a way that you will be able to see it with your physical eyes. People will not say, look, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. If you are a believer this morning, if you have put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be Savior of your life, if you've embraced that old rugged cross that the choir sang about this morning, then the kingdom of God is not just something out here somewhere in some invisible form, but it is definitely dispersed inside of you because the Spirit of God lives and dwells within us. You see, the kingdom of God is here on planet Earth right now. It's not a physical kingdom. We've got the United States of America. We've got, the nation of Great Britain. We've got Canada. We've got Mexico, just to name a few. I'm not going to go through every country that's there. But those are nations and kingdoms, and they have leaders. Some have presidents. Some have dictators. Some have sheiks. Some have whatever it may be. And you can see that kingdom. You can go there. You can get on a jet today, and you can travel, and you can go to another country and see that kingdom. But Jesus is telling us that right now, at this time in which you and I are living, that the kingdom of God is very present, but it's not a place out there that we can go physically touch and hold on to. It's a spiritual place that is here now, and it's within us. It's active in those who submit their hearts and their wills to Christ's authority in all that they do and how they live their lives here on earth. It's active when we make seeking and doing God's will the priority of our lives over all the other things that this world has to offer us. John Calvin, who lived in the 1500s, a theologian, a pastor, and a reformer, he said, it is the task of the church to make the invisible kingdom visible. It's the task of you and I, Nettles Island Church, on Nettles Island and beyond, to make the invisible kingdom of God that you and I is real, visible, through our lifestyle, through our living for Christ, to the world that doesn't see it and can't see it, because the physical kingdom, Revelation 21, will one day be here, but it's not here in its physical form, but it's not any less here today. Now, how do we make that invisible kingdom visible? How do we do that? Simply put, I believe Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I believe that that means desiring and loving God more than the other things that surround or fill your life and your world. Loving God most. Committed to God more than anything else. You see, it means keeping in step with and in fellowship with the Holy Spirit in everything that we do as we live out our lives here on Nettles Island or beyond. It's being sensitive and it's being obedient to the promptings and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us. It's saying to the Lord, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done through me. Now, maybe you remember a little worship course. I used to sing it when I was a teenager and younger than that. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Did anybody ever hear that course? I'd sing it for you, but I can't sing. I don't want to empty the room. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. I used to sing that. We used to have that in our little repertoire of songs that we would sing in church. And it comes right out of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And it's the Apostle Paul. And see, Paul understood. He knew and he exemplified a life of seeking first the kingdom of God. And he wrote to the Galatian Christians and he said this. He said, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body," here's how he does it, "by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, Paul lived this way because of what Jesus taught in Luke chapter 9 in verse 23 when Jesus said this. He said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." If anyone would come after me, if you and I would have a desire to have relationship and fellowship with Almighty God, with Jesus Christ, God the Son, then we have got to listen to his words. And he says that we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily to follow him. Self-denial. Now that's a concept that we need to resurrect in our culture and even in our churches today in 2024, self-denial. You see, we're in a culture of people who believe that we deserve to have everything we want our way right now. Don't we? That's the world we're living in. It's very self-centered. It's very self-centered, very demanding. There is no such thing today in our culture, in our world, of self-denial. It's only about what can I do for myself? What can I get? And you know, I got to thinking about that as I was studying this week. And you know where that began? Back in the 70s. Back in the 70s. There were some television advertisements. Do you remember this one? "Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us. Have it your way at..." See, you know. Now, not to be outdone in the marketing stratosphere, then McDonald's comes along, and that's from the 70s. You can go back to YouTube, and you can find that, and you can laugh and giggle at that like I did this week, and think, oh my goodness, look at those clothes, look at those hairdos, and look at these people. But McDonald's, they said, well, we're not going to let Burger King have that catchy phrase. So they came out with a phrase, and it says, "You deserve..." And these are like little jingles. If I could sing, I'd make them better, but... trust me. "You deserve a break. You deserve a break today. So come on in for the McDonald's way." And then it goes on and they go on and on and on. And then there's another one that's not quite as old as that. It's an AT&T one. And I'm going to have Tammy just put it up here. And it's just kind of short. But listen to this. And it'll just set what I'm saying today for us.
"I'm debating between getting a slow car and a fast car. Which one do you think I should get?"
"Fast car."
"Okay, why?"
"Because, man, you deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
You're right. I do deserve it.
That's an AT&T commercial. Now, how many of you know or think that those little boys and girls that are there the rest of their life are going to go through life going, "I deserve everything I want"? You see? And it was all about speed. And they talked about a fast or slow car, but they're talking about internet speed or phone speed and all of that. And that's what that commercial was about. Folks, the concept has been indoctrinating us for over 50 years through the media and through television. But it runs completely contrary to how Jesus taught us how to live. It's contrary. You can't live that way if you want to be successful as a believer, as a Christian. We've been sold the lie that we deserve our best life now. And so we believe it. And instead of living to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, since childhood, we've learned to demand our own way. I mean, whatever it is we want, we deserve it. And so, we don't want to do life God's way. It's too demanding. He asks too much of us. We want to do it our way with just enough God to cross the threshold of heaven's finish line. And there are a lot of people sitting in churches today, and that's their whole position is, look, I just want to have some fire insurance in my pocket. I want to pray that prayer, and I want to make sure that someday when I'm done living my best life here, that I'll get to go live my best life in heaven. And we struggle to sing the meaning from meaning it from our heart. The words of courses like, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days and let them flow in endless praise to Him. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. You see, who's sitting on the throne of our hearts today? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He King of our lives, King of our whole universe, everything that we do? Now you say to me this morning, I thought about this, and I thought, you could be sitting back there going, wow, Pastor Rob, this is a tough message. You're pushing a little hard today. You're saying that I have to give up my life and surrender my will and my hopes and my dreams and my plans to surrender them to Jesus Christ. And I don't know if I can do that, and I don't know if I want to do that. I don't really know if I want to live life that way, but stay with me here. How many know that God is never indebted to His creation? God's not a debtor to you and to me. He gave us His very best. He gave us the greatest treasure, the greatest jewel of heaven when His Son came to this earth. And He gave us His Son, and He continues to pour out and to give to us as we follow Him. You see, stay with me here. If you're thinking, man, this is really tough, I don't know if I want to really listen to this. Do you guys remember a man by the name of Paul Harvey? What did he used to say? Now for the rest of the story. I want to give you the rest of Matthew 6:33. I've always heard sermons on seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and they want to put a period right there. And it goes on and it says more than that. You see, when seeking the kingdom of God becomes our lifestyle, when it becomes a thing that we long for, when we wake up, when the alarm goes off, or when we just naturally wake up in the morning, and the first thing we think about is the Lord Jesus, and how can I love You today, and oh, I want to praise You today, and I'm seeking first Your kingdom, not my will, but Thine be done. When we do that, and that becomes our lifestyle, and just instead of a Bible verse on a page, something happens in the spiritual realm. God's supernatural becomes unleashed in this toward you and toward me. The promise God makes at the end of this verse becomes activated in our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. One version says, in all else. One says things, one says all else. So maybe you're today thinking, I don't need a thing. I need something supernatural or spiritual or peace or something else going on. All else, all these things shall be added to you as well. Now listen, this is not a guarantee that, and I'm not preaching this morning, that we're going to wake up tomorrow morning and find a brand new shiny Land Rover in our driveway or a pot of gold on our doorstep. I'm not saying that. God is not saying that. That would be the biggest thing to cry about if I woke up tomorrow and the only thing that this verse promised me was a brand new shiny car, and that's the most I could get out of this verse. God's promising us something that's lasting and eternal and effective and will go on and on for a long, long time. In fact, through eternity, He's promising us to be with us and to cover us and to go with us. So it's not a guarantee for just the tangible things that we want, all of our wants in life. But our obedience to putting the kingdom of God first in our lives places us in a position to experience the promise of God. Put Him first, the promises then begin to flow, His blessings and His gifts, and to have all of life's sustainables provided to us by God. He puts us in a position when we seek Him first to experience victory and breakthroughs and abundant life on a daily basis? You see, Jesus promised us all these things will be added to you, blessed with all of our needs being met and a life that is free of worry. Earlier on, beginning in verse 25, and I just want to kind of just rehearse it, not go back and look at it. Jesus said, don't worry about what you'll eat or where you'll sleep or what you'll wear. He said, don't worry about those things. The pagans, the heathens, the unbelievers, they chase those things. Don't worry. We can cross worry off of our list for 2024 if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because the promise is there that He will meet all of our needs. And then in verse 34 of Matthew 6, He reiterates and says, and so I say to you, do not worry. I want you to notice another verse. I just saw this yesterday. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Jesus is talking, or Paul is saying this. We believe it's Paul that wrote Hebrews, and he's saying this about Jesus, that He, Jesus, is a rewarder of those who, there it is, diligently seek Him. Seeking Him. Now that word diligently simply means wholeheartedly or earnestly. But there's a word in front of that in that sentence called He rewards. The word reward in our English language translate out to what the apostle wrote, the literal definition is one who pays wages. Look it up sometime in the Greek. One who pays wages. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things, and if you bring in Hebrews, He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. He pays wages. Hebrews 11 is telling us, as we seek God and honor Him through our lives, that God will, and He promises, to pay us back. We don't deserve it. We'll never deserve it. I'm not talking about what we shared earlier in the little clip in the McDonald's and Burger King, that we deserve it. I didn't come up with this. We didn't demand this. There wasn't a revolt that went, God, we'll do this if you'll do that. God on His own said, if you'll seek Me, I will reward you. I will bless you. I will meet all of your needs. And then we see where Jesus is a rewarder of those who are diligent to seek after Him. Now follow me here. This morning we're hoping for a better year of growth and closeness with our relationships, aren't we? With our spouses, with our children. We want a breakthrough in our health or our finances. We must first make sure that our desire to be close to God, to hearing from Him, to worshiping Him, and following Him with a whole heart is greater than any of the other things, the goals, the dreams, the hopes, the things that we want. Not that they're bad, but He's got to be on a whole different level. Our pursuit has to be on a greater level, seeking after Him. You see, when God is first in every area of our heart, we find the power to face and to overcome every new challenge or unforeseen obstacles because of our source of strength and hope that comes from Him. We're in a better position to meet all of those health goals because we'll be infused by His self-control. We'll better navigate through our problems and exercise a good judgment because we're connected to God and operating from a place of fullness instead of running on fumes or yesterday's blessings. Because God is the great rewarder of those who put Him first and seek Him above all else. As I close this morning, I want to share with you a real life example of Matthew 6:33 that I'm talking about today. And this is something that I learned this week in talking with one of our church members, one of our church family. And I'm going to ask Galen to come on up this morning. And I want Galen to share with you in a few moments exactly what he told me this week. And you're going to see how this is practical, how it's real, how it's not some myth in the Bible that just, oh, we preach good things, but God still do that today. you're going to find today that God is still the same. Thank you. Here, take this.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. Yeah, Rob and I were having a conversation this week. You know, we're getting ready for the Bible study, and I asked him how he's coming on the sermon, and he explained to me that he was going to talk about Matthew 6:33, and he gave me a few clues of what he was going to talk about, and then when he said that, I waited until he'd finished, and I said, "Do you mind if I share something with you?" That has been probably the most important verse of my entire life. Just to go back, back 40 years ago, 35 years ago, I had a very busy law practice, and I had about 5 attorneys working for me. And our practice was such that I traveled every week. I would leave on Tuesday morning, and I'd be doing depositions all over the country, and the other folks with me were doing the same thing. We'd get back on Friday night, and I was in Bible study fellowship, and I know many of you have been in Bible study fellowship over the years. And I had been in at that time about 10 years, and I would do my lesson every week, and by that time they had asked me to be the substitute teaching leader. And, you know, there was the real teaching leader who taught every week, you know, like 32 weeks of the year. And then I would come in and I would teach when he was unavailable, maybe 4, 5, 6 times a year. And I was able to do that, you know, and add that onto my schedule, you might say, each week when it was necessary, and work my schedule around that. But what happened was the real teaching leader, we were up in Minneapolis, he was a big John Deere executive, and he was so busy that he wasn't able to do, you know, do well on the lectures, and the class was starting to shrink. And we had gotten down to 70 members, and if it went below 70, they were going to close the class. And I was very concerned. And of course, when I did my lectures, I had a little more time to prepare and things like that. And so the area team asked me if I would consider becoming the teaching leader and do the full-time job where I would be teaching pretty much every week. And I said, well, I can't even imagine how I would do that with my schedule and the way our practice is, but let me pray about it. And so I did, and this verse, Matthew 6:33 came to mind. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. And I thought, well, I guess what I've kind of been doing is I've been adding my kingdom, it's Galen's kingdom. I'm building Galen's kingdom and Galen's, you know, law practice. And I thought, I guess, and I've been adding my Bible study onto that. And I thought, this promise is saying if I make his kingdom first, all these things will be granted unto me. And so I finally said, okay, I'm going to do it. I prayed about it. And I had to let like 3 people go. I kept 1 lawyer. And so I started teaching every week. And, you know, God blessed it. The class began to grow. I was just able to put in more time. But anyway, as the years went by, I think what Rob just mentioned, Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. So the class grew, and in about 10 years, we were up to about 300, and we had 120 kids in the youth program, largest one in America, I guess, at that time. But at any rate, then after that, I went on and I taught another 15 years, 25 years, I guess, in total, 30 years. But at any rate, I look back and I got to thinking one time, man, it just seemed like everything worked out. And I was called upon for a reason to look at our tax returns. And I went back and I looked, and I made more money after I gave up my practice like that. I could practice in the summer, and God worked it out. So in the 3 months in the summer, I could schedule some depositions, and I could go to trial, and I tried cases almost every summer. And I got miraculous results by my standards. You know, respectable lawyers, it probably wouldn't have been that big a deal, but for me, it was big. And so anyway, it was the most life-changing thing that I ever did in my life. And so I shared that with Rob, and that's why he asked me to share it with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. That is a You know the man. It's not like a preacher's up here telling stories. That happened. And God does that to us. He challenges us in our lives at different times and different phases. And we're maybe, like I say, sometimes we're writing our last chapters of our novel or our autobiography, I should say. We're writing our last chapters, but they can be the best chapters. And what I'm saying this morning, and there's the testimony to it in a practical way, that if we as a church and as you and I as individuals, if we'll make a commitment this morning before we leave this place, a commitment of heart to God, and say, Lord, as we launch this year, 2024, I commit to you to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. I want to be more like you at the end of this year. Where will you be 11 and three quarters months from now? Will you know Jesus any better? Will you know any more of his word? Will you have had a chance to share the gospel with somebody, a neighbor or a friend? Where will you be next year? Do you want to be exactly where you are right now? I don't. And I know that the answer to that is that if Rob, and if you'll follow what I'm saying, if we will pursue seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, make me more like you, Jesus, all these things will be added unto us. I believe that he'll answer our prayers and that the blessings that we seek will come because he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So let's seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness in 2024. Let's put first things first. Father, we bow our hearts and our heads to you today. God, we're just humble people. We just surrender everything that we are and all that we know to be to you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the promise that's there. We don't chase the promises. God, help us never to do that. Help us to chase the heart of Jesus. But the promises are still there. And God, when we honor you, the honor comes back around to us, just as Galen said. He was at a crossroads and he was building his world and building his future and his finances. And here was this opportunity that you put at his feet to give that all up and pursue you with all of his heart. Make a difference for the kingdom in the lives of men and women. And thankfully, he said yes. And then there was the reward where you took care of him and blessed him more abundantly. God, we're not just talking about money. We're talking about just the whole realm of our life, starting with our spiritual life, to know you more, to fellowship with you more, to be more intimate in relationship. God, I pray for this congregation today. I pray that as we're at our seats, that you would just help us right now to make that commitment to you. That you would be honored and glorified. That we would say in our hearts, God, here's my heart. Take it. Take all of it. Here's my life, God. Take all of it. I seek first your kingdom. I put first things first. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Stand with me and sing this chorus together. In my life be glorified.
Sing with me this morning. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. And in my heart, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. Sing my life, Lord, be glorified today.
The whole putting God first begins with receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I would be remiss this morning in this service if you have come today and joined us, but you've never given your heart, never given your life to Jesus. It starts there. It starts at the cross. It starts with acknowledging that we are sinners and we have no right and we're not going to heaven with sin in our life, but God made a way through Jesus. Jesus came to this earth. He did miracles. He did wonders. He preached. He taught. And then he went to the cross and he died on the cross as our substitute. He was buried, and 3 days later he came out of that grave in great victory. And today he is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But he made a way. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man, no woman, no person can ever get to heaven, can come to the Father unless they come through me. If you're here today and you have never prayed a prayer and said, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I've messed up. But I need saving grace. I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. Cleanse my heart. Make me a child of God today. If you'll do that, if you'll pray that, and I'll be here when service is over, I'll pray that with you. I'll encourage you with you. But don't leave this place today and not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't seek first the kingdom of God and get the blessings unless he's Savior first and foremost of your life. God bless all of you today. God be with you. Thank you for being in church with us today, making this hour count, being a part of this day. God has been lifted up and glorified. I pray God bless you this week and give you the best week as you launch out this week of prayer and as you seek first the kingdom of God. Have a blessed and great week.